bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your desire to be with us today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. I know looking at it, you're going to think we'll be here till midnight. But rest assured, the lesson put in your notes is kind of anchored in definitions. In the three major verses we're going to look at this morning, Paul gives a list or a catalog of things to do or things not to do. And so many times when I look at a definition, I see not only that the word is defined, but many times in the definition, the application is made also. And so hopefully as we go through these verses this morning, well, I'll give you the definition, but I hope you can also take it to heart and learn to make the application to yourself also. There's three things that, in number one, in Galatians 6, verse 2, it was in our text that was read to us, where the Apostle Paul says concerning us, you know, as a congregation or a people of God, disciples, you know, followers of Jesus, we who are students of the Master, he said, this is what I want you to do. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're going to bear something by definition, so I tried to put definitions in your notes also. If you're going to bear another's burdens, you're going to give them support. You're going to strengthen their weakness. You're going to assist. If you bear something, you're going to shore it up. You're going to keep them from falling. So someone else has the burden, and we recognize that. We see that. And I need to take note and go and say, may I help you? May I get that for you? Or would it be okay if I lend you a hand? See, there's sometimes there's burdens that we need to bear that are involved in the lives of another. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Apostle Paul said, I've showed you all things. In other words, I've given a demonstration by my life. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Oh, bear another's burden. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said, we exhort you, brethren. Anytime there's an exhortation, it's almost, he's almost saying, you know, sit up and take notice. You know, listen to what I have to say. Exhort you, brethren. He says, support the weak. Bear. Shore up. Support. You know, there's three kinds of burdens in the Bible that I know. One in this text, where we see a load that another person is carrying that can be lightened by my assistance. I want to bear another's burden. So that's one sense that the Bible uses about burdens. But second, in verse 5 of the same text, every man shall bear his own burden. See, sometimes there's individual responsibility. You ever say to someone else, you need to do that. You need to take care of that yourself. But other times, as we point out in the first sentence or the first situation, let me help you with what you're doing. Oh, but there's another time. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, oh, then every man shall give account of himself to God. There's some things I can't help you with. When we stand before God in judgment, we'll stand as individuals. And I'll have to give account of myself to God. You know, when that roll is called up yonder and he says, Anderson, Brian Kane, here I am. I think, wait a minute, where's my support? No, I stand by myself before God. Let me give an account. Give an account. Then sometimes, number three, there's burdens that are too heavy for us to carry. Peter, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's a time in your life and mine where after I've done everything that I can do, I need to give it over to God. Especially when it comes to sin sickness. I can't heal myself. I can't formulate a plan that's acceptable to God for the forgiveness of my sins. I can't work enough or cry enough to have God forgive me of my sins. We sing that song, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Notice that it says, not the labor of my hands. No. Another phrase in that song, Rock of Ages, says, could my tears forever flow? These for sins could not atone, the song says. Thou must save, and thou alone. See, there's a burden of sin that you and I bear that I need to turn over to God. So when we think about burdens, there's one, let me help you with that. Bear one another's burdens. Let me lift that for you. Second, there's a time I need to stand on my own. Each man shall give account of himself. Then number three, there's certain things that I can't do and you can't help me with, and I can't help you with, and that's that burden of sin. Cast that care upon God, because he cares for us. Burden bearing. And then he says, do that because it fulfills the law of Christ. So I just kind of put in your notes, so that's just not a good idea. That's the law. That's the law. There's some interesting words with it that says, so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, Jesus uses the word along the same line when he said in John 13, verse 34, a new commandment. A commandment. Yeah. That you love one another. As I've loved you, you ought to love one another. Commandment. Burden bearing is fulfilling the law of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, one time was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus didn't say, oh, there's no commandments. What are you trying to do? Work your way? work your way up? But Jesus said, oh, here's a commandment. First one, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is likened unto it, thou shalt love your neighbors yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. Yeah, there's a commandment. There's an obligation I have. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, boy, count on me, God. But then he says, keep my commandments. Not that I'm working my way. Oh, no. Not a chance. No, not the labor of my hands. No, I'm casting my care on you, oh God. And I say thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Because I can't make it by myself. The second verse I put in your notes, the Ephesians chapter 4 in the opening verses. Now, I'll read the verses for you in completeness. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That's almost like an exhortation. I exhort you. But now, when he beseeches beseeches us, he's saying, well, I'm pleading and I'm praying and I'm urging and I want to be convincing. And again, listen up. I beseech you, brethren, that you walk worthy of the vocation which you're called. In other words, I want to see your faith. I want you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all, here's your words, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Another bearing. So the burdens, there's, number one was we need to bear one another's burdens. And now we need to forbear one another in love. It means if I'm going to forbear, I'm going to exercise some restraint. In other words, I'm going to delay my wrath toward you. You know, you really upset me, but I'm going to forbear, and I'm going to exercise some patience. I'm going to forbear another in love. Because of my caring and our concern and our life together, our community, our faith, our discipleship, there's times that you and I will need to forbear one another. And then he gives the definition, or he says, this is what it's going to look like. All these words are definitions. When you forbear, I want you to do it with lowliness. In other words, I need to have humility. It's a low estimate of oneself because of my consciousness of my guilt and my weakness. And it kind of recalls to mind in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. So here my brother, my friend, my neighbor has done something that offends me, and I'm really upset about it, but I need to forbear in love and in meekness because I know that I sin too, and I don't always measure up. And Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, everybody sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Again, I don't measure up all the time. So when my brother or sister doesn't measure up, I need to forbear in love. It's kind of the golden rule, isn't it? I'm going to do to you what I want you to do with me. So when I fall short and when I don't measure up, I want you to treat me correctly too. Forbear in love. In lowliness. Next one, in meekness. I put in your nose, meekness is not weakness. It's a controlled authority. It's controlled power. I always liken it to a tamed lion. Or maybe just an animal. Can you tame a lion? But the idea is here, we may have the ability to be ferocious or devouring. But we're going to put that under control and exercise meekness. With what you did to me, I may have the opportunity or the right to overpower you. But no, I'm going to forbear in love. And then Paul adds the definition in lowliness and meekness. In love. Next word is long-suffering. Just reverse those. Suffer long. It's kind of easy to define, but hard to do. It means I'm going to be patient. There's some things that you are going to have to put up with me. That you're going to have to endure. Because we are to forbear one another. And I'll have to do the same with you. There'll be a time for me to help you bear a burden. Then there'll be a time for me to forbear. And not be anxious to retaliate or to exact something in return. I'm going to be long-suffering. It's interesting, there's not a time frame on this. It doesn't say be patient for 3 days and then you can go get them. No. It says long-suffering. So your long-suffering may last longer than mine, or it varies based on the situation. But it just says there's a time in your life and mine to forbear. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Without love, many times forbearance will not be possible. I'll be ready to retaliate. Oh, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. No. Put love in the equation. I'm going to forbear, put up with you and you put up with me because of our love for one another and for God. So when we think about burdens, there's a burden that bear one another's burdens, bear my own burdens, cast my burdens on God,
and now forbear one another in love. The last one I put is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Or beginning at verse 30. I'll read the entire verse for you. The opening phrase of verse 30 is, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." It's interesting that God's Spirit can be grieved. But God's Spirit can be grieved by our actions. And that's what Paul begins to list. He says, don't do this, but do this. He says, when you do these kinds of things, it grieves the heart of God or God's Spirit. So he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let on," here's that list, and it's in your notes, "bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away with all malice." And be, now he tells you what you should look, what it should look like. These things would make the Holy Spirit rejoice. "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." And then he gives the illustration. "Even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you." You mean there's an occasion that I need forgiveness? Oh, yeah. So now look at your list. Bitterness, these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Cut him to the heart. Bitter, if we're bitter, it's that frame of mind that willfully retains anger. If you're bitter, it's liable to explode in anger at any moment. It's resentment. James says in James chapter 3, verse 14, "If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory in that. Don't be glad that, oh, I'm mad at that person." Don't be happy about being mad. Or bitterness. Anger? That's bitterness that's kind of smolding under the flames. Anger? Anger sometimes gets explosive. It moves us to an action. Wrongful action. And Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, don't do that. That grieves. Grieves the Holy Spirit. Wrath? That's like a anger, hot anger like with a roaring furnace. Clamor? We don't use clamor, that word clamor, very much. Good King James word, I guess. But the idea of clamor is stop yelling at each other. If someone that clamors is the one that everybody, he's the one that wants everybody else to hear his grievance. Let me tell you what I'm mad about, man. We're mad. Clamor is full of strife. It's full of contention. If you clamor, you're disruptive in the assembly or in our fellowship, in our friendship. And Paul said, when you disrupt the fellowship, the friendship that we have, that grieves God's Spirit, the heart of God. Paul said, don't do that. Next one, evil speaking. That's an easy one, isn't it? We don't want to speak evil. And he says, all malice. Don't take delight in hurting somebody else. Don't say, oh joy, I get to reprimand someone, my brother. Oh joy, makes me glad I get to go to them and point out their fault. No, we want to take away the malice. Look at the heart of God. God so loved the world that he gave a son. Yeah. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, when we were yet sinners, ungodly, he demonstrated his love toward us. Yeah. When we weren't lovely, God says, you know what? I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to help you out. Take away the malice. God didn't exercise malice toward us. We were a world of people that weren't righteous, that weren't going to measure up by ourselves. He knew that. So he says, I'm going to help you. So then the next one is the opposite. These things will make the Holy Spirit rejoice. So be kind one to another. You know, do good. We know what this looks like. You know what kindness looks like? It's good manners. Be pleasant. Be gracious. Consider others. Kind. Aren't you kind? Tender-hearted. Oh, softness, gentleness, especially in our relationships. I'll be tender with your heart and with my heart. Have a warm affection or concern for another. Tender heartedness. Heartfelt care and concern. And then the next one, the last one's forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. That's the remission of punishment that's due to sinful conduct. I'm going to forgive. Take away any punishment that's due because of your sins or your offense to me. I'm going to forgive. Take away the punishment. I'm going to deliver you in a sense. Liberate. Dismiss the wrong. And that's what God does for us. That's the next phrase. Even as God also in Christ forgave you. God, I don't measure up. Brian, I'm going to offer you forgiveness. That's grace. Thank you. What can I say? He said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. So that's the lesson for this morning. Bear, forbear, and forgive. That's the challenge. But you can do it by the grace of God. God's help. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement, or a song of exhortation in urging you to make your life right with God if you haven't done so already. There's a simple formula that we believe that we teach, that the Bible teaches. When Jesus' last words, he commissioned his apostles in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world, teach all nations or preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing those, you'll make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So we follow or adhere to that admission. We want to teach and preach and disciple and then have you be baptized for remission of sins. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So I want you to believe the message, the biblical message that is being taught. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins, and I don't want to die in my sins. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And I don't want to perish. I don't want to do that. And then you'll want to be baptized because that's in the last words of Jesus. Go everywhere, preach the gospel, a good news message. And those that believe it, those that will take it to heart, baptize them in the name, by the authority of heaven, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then teach them more teaching to observe all the things that I've commanded you, like the things we've mentioned in our lesson this morning. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you have not obeyed those commands already, this is a good time to do that. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come to the front and let your request be known while we're singing this song.